Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
See Ukraine pressurized by the war of attrition that Moscow is waging against Kyiv. I see America's continued support to Ukraine challenged by those political divisions I spoke about in Washington. But I believe that Ukraine can still win, but they need our significant help. Russia has a plan to achieve its end state. Do we? Paraphrasing Aaron Applebaum's recent article in The Atlantic, is the U.S. really going to abandon Ukraine now after we rallied the world to help the Ukrainians? In my opinion, to do otherwise would be strategic folly.
So this is a speech. If you've been listening to the show this morning, you know. And if you haven't been, I understand, because, you know, most people don't necessarily listen to the whole 4 hours. I get it. But for Navy Days, about a week and a half ago, for the gala at the Naval Aviation Museum on board NAS Pensacola, the guest speaker, the keynote speaker, was Admiral Harry Harris, four-star retired. Four stars, okay? That's a big deal. That's the highest rank you can get in the Navy outside of wartime when you might have a five-star admiral. But, you know, four-star admiral is a pretty big deal. He was the commander of Indo-Pacific Command. He was commander of U.S. Pacific Fleet. He was the ambassador to South Korea after he was in office, or after he was in the military. 40 years in the military, pretty good. And he gave a speech about foreign policy and the importance of naval air power, which, of course, originates here in Pensacola, and generally understanding the military strategic significance of what's going on in Ukraine, of Israel, of Russia, of China. And it was quite a keynote speech, frankly. And I hadn't had a chance to cover it until now. Very, very interesting stuff. I will podcast the whole speech for you on our podcast page eventually. But I want to share this with you because he's right. You know, what was going on with Russia in Ukraine, you know, we talked everybody into helping defend Ukraine. And now some people in America and in Congress are unsure whether we should keep helping Ukraine against Russia. I have said before, and I'll say again, I think we absolutely should. You know, thank God the French helped us in the revolution. You know, thank God. There's, and I view it as largely similar. You know, don't give up now. This is a great way for us to, you know, fight our adversary without having to fight our adversary directly. We can indirectly fund and train, and then we don't have to fight them, okay? And we can, you know, degrade the Russian capability and make it harder so Vladimir Putin can reestablish the Soviet Empire. But the reason he talked a lot about Russia was so we understand Russia, but then so we understand why this is relevant to China. Okay, kind of all the conversation I've been having about this speech so far is sort of built up to this. Why does Russia matter so much for China and the People's Republic of China, PRC?
Hard to say where Beijing will land, but Xi Jinping is no fool. He craves stability in the international order so that he has time to shape that order to his favor. The very things that he seeks to weaken, the West, the U.S., the U.N., our alliances with Japan, South Korea, Australia, and the Philippines, have come together with Ukraine as a catalyst. While supportive of Russia, the PRC is not yet all in on Russia. However, in my opinion, Beijing is moving in that direction.
This is really important to understand if you want to understand global politics, okay? Russia, right, thought that it would destabilize the West, thought that we would cave and collapse, and they'd take back Ukraine, and that'd be their third notch in Vladimir Putin's belt after Georgia and Crimea, which, of course, is kind of part of Ukraine anyway. They miscalculated. You know, Russia miscalculated, okay? What they thought would happen was that, you know, we would all kind of fall apart and fracture. You know, the West is weak and the alliances are weak. And what it actually did was it united us in opposition and brought us together and actually have brought now more people into NATO. Well, that's something that China's been watching, obviously.
You can be assured that Xi Jinping is watching Ukraine closely and learning. He's learning that control of the internet is vital. He's learning that drones have changed the nature of war. Unfortunately, he's also learning that the West's staying power is somewhere between 2 and 3 years. But I believe he's also wondering. He's wondering how his military, untested in sustained combat operations since the Korean War, would fare in modern 21st century warfare.
Yeah, because he's watching Russia completely fail. Or not completely, but fail greatly compared to what we expected them to be able to do. And the other, you know, that's a bit surprising. Learning about drones, learning about, I mean, all kinds of things that he is learning from seeing what's happening in Ukraine.
He's wondering if his army, trained in the Soviet model, is as bad as Russia's appears to be. If his generals and admirals, again, trained in the Soviet model, are as inept as Russia's appears to be. And if his vaunted Navy, the PLA Navy, is as vulnerable as the Black Sea Fleet is.
Yeah, because they, you know, he, like the Russians, believed that they're very, very, very strong and capable. Well, look what happened to the Russians. Is that a sobering lesson for us as the Chinese? And that's kind of what Admiral Harry Harris was getting at in that part of the speech. So, in a weird way, the invasion of Ukraine either might talk Xi Jinping out of aggression, out of the fear that what he's got is a paper tiger. Then again, it might also talk him into engaging in activity that would reform and strengthen and build up an actual strong enough army, because he sees how it was vulnerable and could be a problem for him if he decides to go against Taiwan. Like, you could sort of see it either way. Back to the speech by Admiral Harry Harris, four-star retired at the Naval Museum a week and a half ago for Navy Day. Is very, very interesting speech. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. I thought this was an amazing and interesting, and, you know, you don't normally get to hear a four-star admiral talk about international politics and, you know, military strength, and, you know, I was paying attention to every word. He talked quite a bit about Israel. The attack in October by Hamas was pure evil, terrorism, and, you know, he finds it, how is it possible?
This is pure evil, and it baffles me that there are those who seek to justify Hamas's actions.
Yeah, that there are people who take up for Hamas is amazing. And also, Iran needs to be held accountable for the acts, because everybody knows they are involved, ongoing, complicit in what's going on in Yemen with the Houthis, what's going on with Hezbollah, what's going on with Hamas, obviously. So then we get to conclusions, okay? What's the takeaway from all of this? This is the part I wanted to make sure you got a chance to hear. What were his conclusions from this, again, like 45-minute speech that he gave about international geopolitics and military strength?
We live in an interconnected world of shared spaces. The oceans, the air, outer space, and now cyberspace. These spaces enable the free flow of goods, services, and ideas. They are the connective tissue that binds together the global economy and a civil society. Access to these thoroughfares are at risk in the 21st century. Naval aviation is needed now more than ever.
Naval aviation, which is our best Earth-related source of the capacity to protect communication and transportation, which is vital to our modern economy. Yeah, that's why you need it more than ever. And, of course, space as well, which we are very involved in. Second,
the U.S. made two fundamentally flawed geopolitical assumptions last century. One, we assumed that China would morph into something like a global force for good. And two, that Russia would no longer threaten its neighbors or the West. Today, the Russian bear is afoot, and we find ourselves shooting well behind the Peking duck. We must step up our game, or we'll find ourselves outgunned, literally and figuratively.
Such an important thing to realize. There was, and he talked about it very early in the speech. He hinted at the end of history, this paper that became a book by Francis Fukuyama back in the late 80s, early 90s, that was basically saying that we're done. There's no more international conflict. We won. The Cold War is over. The West, liberal democracy, won. Freedom wins. And Russia and Soviet Union is going to disband, and Russia's and all these other countries are going to embrace freedom. China, we're going to work with them. We're going to partner. It's going to be economic prosperity for everybody. And we don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. Well, guess what? People are people. And the belief that it would all be over and we'd move into this idyllic age, you know, that we're post-conflict or something, was a crazy belief at the time, and has since proven to be a crazy belief, because it lulled us into not thinking that we needed to be actively ongoing, monitoring, resisting, and stopping people like, for example, Kim Jong-un from acquiring nuclear weapons, or Iran, or, you know, pick it. Because people are still people at heart. Anyway, third.
And thirdly and finally, we have more in common, you and I, than just an interest in Pensacola or even in naval aviation. What connects us across the generations is our shared values, our shared hopes, and our shared love of country. Today, America remains the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world. We see this play out globally every day, and especially in Ukraine today.
Because we are a representative republic, because we elect our leaders, because we have input with them, and because they then make choices that shape military policy, we all need to be informed. We all need to pay attention. I know it's a whole lot easier to pay attention to, can I just say it, stupid bleep, like whether somebody's wife flies a flag upside down at their beach house, or whether, you know, an aging, fading actor gets up and gives a big speech about Trump in New York City. You know, it's easy to pay attention to distracting bleep. Okay? This is the stuff that serious people pay attention to, and you should too. Because you make choices and you make votes and you decide who gets elected, and that ultimately shapes whether we are properly or not properly in position to handle these threats, or properly or not properly building, rebuilding, training, preparing our military for these things. You know, this is big, important stuff, okay?
Thankfully, our nation has always been blessed with strong women and men of exceptional courage and character, patriots who step forward to do whatever it takes to defend Lady Liberty whenever she's at risk. Your uniformed services, your clandestine services, your diplomatic corps stand the watch in an unbroken chain, generation to generation. Our battles, our victories, indeed our very way of life, are owed not to great moments or important dates. They are owed to the actions and sacrifices of individuals willing to step into the breach for their country.
Absolutely, amen. And you as a citizen in Pensacola or in Milton have an obligation and an opportunity to facilitate the naval mission here by being good citizens, by being, you know, by making it better to the degree that you possibly can. Everybody needs you too. Not just, you know, it's not just something they do, it's something that we do to make it possible for them to do what they do.
Now more than ever, America needs men and women who forgo wearing a business suit, forgo strolling down the easy street, and forgo living the good life, to wear instead the cloth of the nation, to sail instead on a sea fraught with peril, to live instead a life on the ragged edge of danger, to live lives that matter. America's strength depends on the synergy between those brave men and women who wear the cloth of our nation, especially those who adorn that cloth with wings of gold, and informed citizens, patriots like you, who are aware of the challenges, the opportunities, and dangers that we face around the world. So you all have what I call a skin in the game. So I'm truly grateful for what you do to keep America great. Not again, but always. Thank you very much.
As I say, fantastic speech. Four-star admiral comes and speaks in Pensacola for Navy Days. I know I watched it on the edge of my seat, recorded it so that I could share it with you because I figured you'd want to hear it. I will podcast this as well as my own commentaries about it, so you can check that out later, as you will, at newsradio923.com. Let's get traffic on this. So, I don't know, my quick takeaway from all of this is we all need to pay more attention. There are serious things afoot in the world, and if... We need to be more aware so we can be more careful so that we cannot wind ourselves up in a third world war. It has always been a possibility, and it has never been more a possibility than it is right now. And nobody wants to think about it, and nobody wants to believe that might be true, you know, because we'd all rather watch our Netflix, okay? It is true. It is a possibility, and we need to take it seriously. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are in Pace or Milton, you can expect to see some delays on Woodbine Road. That is building up from Woodbine all the way to that is building up US 90 all the way to Ace Hardware on Woodbine. But clear once you get onto the US 90 bridge this morning. On Scenic Highway, there was a vehicle crash right south of Addison Drive. You might expect some delays through there. That road has been cleared. On Davis Highway, traffic building up on East Johnson Street right outside of the hospital. Heading southbound. And if you are heading southbound on North Palafox Street, you can expect to see a lot of delays on the intersection of Pace Boulevard and Massachusetts Avenue. That is due to some road work that is happening. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Judge not that ye be not judged. Consider with me what that really means. That phrase is not a command against making judgments, but in contrast, Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is a command to judge properly. It's so easy to find fault in others, but the first rule of proper judgment is to consider and address your own faults. The second rule is to be sure that your judgments are clear and not clouded by a self-serving carnal agenda. Thirdly, don't waste your judgments on people who won't value them. For example, if you have a very valuable pearl necklace and you cast it into a pig pen, that would be foolish because the pigs don't understand the worth of the pearls. In the same way, you should be cautious with where you cast your valuable Bible-based judgments. So judge wisely.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You love your car or truck, right?
We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
Horseshoe loves Blue Star Airlines. Got it?
Got it.
Right.
99 red balloons go by.
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Jury deliberations will resume this morning in the Trump trial in New York. Yesterday, the jury sent notes to the judge requesting information related to testimony from former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker and former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. They also asked to hear the judge's jury instructions for a second time. Officials with Boeing will reportedly be talking with federal regulators today all about the plane company's improved quality and training. In February, the FAA gave Boeing 90 days to come up with a plan to address systemic quality control issues. And the accusers of Sean Diddy Combs may be brought before a federal grand jury soon. He's been named in 8 civil suits, 7 of them accusing him of sexual assault.
Oh, my God. Did you hear Trump's comments outside the trial yesterday? Listen to this. This is amazing.
Other jurors that could not beat these charges. These charges are rigged. The whole thing is rigged. And I mean that Mother Teresa could not beat those charges, but we'll see. We'll see how we do.
And you know how much better than Mother Teresa I am.
Hey, he says what's on his mind, that's for sure.
It's such a perfect Trump comment.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Jurors at former President Trump's criminal hush money trial during their 4.5 hours of deliberations so far have sent 2 notes from the jury room.
They wanted a refresher on some testimony. They will open this day with a rereading of some of the instructions on the law. As the prosecution and defense wait for verdicts, former President Trump chose to focus elsewhere.
November 5th, remember, most important day in the history of our country. In the meantime, this trial is rigged.
Deliberation day two will begin at 9:30 a.m. local time.
Fox's Colonel Scott in New York. The suspect and a bystander are shot and wounded in a police shootout at a supermarket in Coleraine Township, Ohio.
Both are expected to survive.
Police Chief Edwin Cordy says the suspect pointed a gun at officers who'd approached him outside the store, then ran inside where the shootout happened. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 77 degrees and mostly cloudy skies so far this morning. In submitting her resignation letter to the city of Pensacola this week, Milton Mayor Heather Lindsay says she looks forward to clearing her name in upcoming proceedings. Her resignation as assistant city attorney in Pensacola came 2 weeks after Milton city attorney Alex Andrade filed a lawsuit against her, alleging she's been unwilling to comply with public records requests. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves didn't say whether there were any discussions related to that in the lead-up to her resignation.
Her response, her letter, I think it's out in the public, and, you know, that's I'm going to let that speak for the thing. As you know, since I've started, you know, we don't get into who's and what's and why's of personnel decisions, I think for a lot of reasons.
Lindsay did say that her secondary employment as Milton's mayor interfered with her role with the city of Pensacola and said that she sincerely regretted that. Tate High School getting a big financial boost. They'll be renovating an unused auto body shop that's on their campus. Once those renovations are done, they'll be starting a program and training students to be certified auto service technicians.
This really will be able to change the trajectory of a number of students' lives. Also, they will have transferable skills that will allow them to go into other areas if they are so inclined.
And that school was awarded a $617,000 grant by Triumph Gulf Coast to work on those renovations. And according to Channel 3, that program is expected to launch in fall of next year. The Florida High School Athletic Association has a big meeting scheduled next Tuesday. With more on that, News Radio's Joe Ford.
Yeah, they'll vote on name, image, and likeness for high school athletes. Over the last few months, board members have had several workshops on the topic. Currently, 30 states and D.C. allow high schoolers to profit from NIL. The board will also vote on adding an 8-team championship division for all team sports. Under the proposal, it would take the 8 highest-ranked teams on Max Preps rankings, regardless of classification, and place them into their own postseason bracket. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. A 30-year-old man in the hospital in critical condition after reportedly setting himself on fire inside a Publix in the Tampa area. Several bystanders rushed to put the flames out while the local fire department there responded. It's unclear at this point why the man did it. It's a common question for ECUA. Will bulk pickup ever return to weekly collection without needing to call in advance? ECUA's Bruce Woody tells us it's just too expensive.
Driving routes where we're only picking up something from every 200th home is pretty wasteful on fuel and staff time.
Right.
It's still, even though we're asking you to call up to at least 2 p.m. or earlier ahead of your little pickup tub, even though we ask you to call, it's still a free service.
And Woody says that while making the phone call may not be the most convenient thing, it is the best way for them to keep that service free. He also says other waste services do charge for those bulk pickups, but ECUA is working on one change that might make it a bit more convenient. In about a month, you should be able to schedule that pickup on their mobile app. It's 7:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got a look at our traffic on the fives. What are you seeing so far?
Well, if you're coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up on Woodbine Drive at the intersection of US 90 there. Clearing up as you get off the bridge, or clearing up as you enter the bridge. As you exit the bridge, if you're staying on Scenic Highway, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up. That is due to a vehicle crash that was prevalent earlier on Addison Drive. And backing up Scenic Highway for a good half mile. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you are clear on 98 westbound until you get to the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve. That is showing some slowdowns, but clearing up as you enter the 3-mile bridge into Pensacola this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It is going to be a beautiful, warm, and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 88 degrees. 10% chance of a stray sprinkle. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Beautiful weather for Friday as well, with a 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 88. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. We'll have a few more isolated showers and thunderstorms on Saturday with a 40% chance of rain, high near 86. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 78 degrees. In Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, and 76 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, FM 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. More than 4 million egg-laying birds infected with the avian influenza have been killed in Iowa with hopes of controlling the virus's spread. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship confirmed the news, marking the first case of bird flu in the state this year. USDA said it is the largest flock impacted in the state since 2022 and is the largest number of chickens impacted by the virus so far this year nationwide. Nearly 2 million Fiji water bottles sold through Amazon have been recalled over elevated levels of minerals and bacteria. The affected cases of water were sold between February 1st and March 3rd. The FDA classified the recall as the lowest level of seriousness, in which a product is not likely to cause adverse health consequences. Futures are moderately lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrial lost 411, the NASDAQ down 99, and the S&P 500 down 39. That's your money now.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Thursday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach.
In Pensacola, Pensacola Beach, and Perdido Key.
On News Radio 92.3.
There are over 15,445 radio stations in America. But out of all those stations, a panel of judges representing the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the 2024 National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for exceptional year-round community service. Thanks to you, our listeners. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
A community outraged after a senior class trip in Central Florida was cut short due to this.
Pull over, pull over.
Sorry, that's actually not the one I was meaning to play. Let me. We're having button pushing issues this morning. I don't exactly know why. We're gonna have Mike Wood on here in just a second. But I wanted to play this one for you, Mike. Here, this was the incident I wanted to mention.
In Michigan, a driver with a suspended license left a judge stunned when he showed up to his virtual court hearing like this.
Mr. Harris, are you driving?
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually.
He's suspended and he's just driving.
That is correct, Your Honor.
I don't even know why he would do that.
Right? Judge J. Cedric Simpson, seemingly in disbelief earlier this month during the court hearing for that driver, Corey Harris, the judge confirming multiple times that Harris did not, in fact, have a valid license. He then revoked Harris's bond and ordered him to turn himself into police that evening, leaving Harris in apparent disbelief.
So he's having the hearing over his suspended license. He's participating in the hearing on Zoom, on his phone, in his car, while he's driving to the doctor's office. This is in Michigan, where it is also by the way, illegal to be on your phone when you're in the car. Mike Wood is here in studio with us. And you have a guest with us. Is that right?
We do. This is Mallory. She's shadowing me. She's wanting to be a PIO one day and wanting to hang around and see how things are done. So
can we say who Mallory is? Because she's a sort of...
Yeah.
Her father is Ronnie Rivera, who know and love and is a fantastic community servant and has raised a very capable daughter who I think has a Ronnie Rivera-esque sense of self-esteem.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I take that as pride. You know?
Absolutely, you do. Absolutely. Okay, so, Mike...
all I can say on that is
but the reason I wanted to ask you about this, the reason I thought this is you encounter people who drive on suspended licenses or drive without a license all the time.
Right.
Maybe it's because I'm just more of a rule follower, but I find it amazing that people have their license taken away and keep getting behind the wheel of a car or don't have insurance and keep getting behind the wheel of a car. But this to me is he's so oblivious that it's like the rule doesn't even register for him that this would be a problem.
Well, what I was about to say, if you get into law enforcement and you're in it for any amount of time, like 2 weeks, nothing surprises you anymore. Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. That's something that we see all the time. In fact, when we began this initiative downtown with the loud music and the loud pipes, we had people driving on suspended felony, driving on suspended that are stopped for having their radio too loud or their pipes are too loud. So if you're driving on a suspended license, you probably should be the best driver on the road and do everything you can not to get the attention of the police. But fortunately for us, that's not the way it is. The pickings are easy. We're able to stop these vehicles, and we find out very quickly that they don't have a driver's license.
I remember doing ride-alongs thinking that same exact thing. You know, we'd park somewhere and watch a four-way stop to see what happens. And you always find people who don't, and then you think it's appropriate, you pull them over, and then, you know, they're carrying drugs. And you're like, if you're engaged in crime, you should be best behavior. But again, if they were rational, they wouldn't be in the situation to begin with, right?
Exactly.
So I found that an amazing story and couldn't make sense of it and thought I'd give you a chance to talk about it. You mentioned the code enforcement with the off-duty police officers hired by the Downtown Improvement Board to enforce the noise ordinance, which has always been illegal, but we're putting extra ears on that particular problem right now. Last time we talked, we had a few dozen citations. A couple of, you found people that had felony warrants. You found people that were driving on suspended licenses. You find a bunch of stuff when you pull people over for these other violations. How's it been going since then?
It's been going good. I think we're up to about 60 citations right now.
Okay.
We'll be going through that again this weekend. And we need to remember that it's not just a weekend situation downtown. The officers all over the city are going to be enforcing these laws.
Very good. Also, wanted to ask you, and we haven't had too many, any incidents. I think we've been fairly quiet in the city.
It has been.
Which I know y'all don't like that word because you're all super superstitious.
Uneventful.
Uneventful. low newsworthiness.
Yes.
Incidents. Okay, so fair enough. We'll take that to heart. But I did want to ask you, you're training somebody to be a PIO, or Mallory is going through the process of learning to be a PIO?
Right.
Okay. And this is a role, which obviously we have you on all the time, and we talk to a lot of public information officers, but particularly for the police, this is a role that has changed. You know, there was a time when the view by law enforcement was, don't talk to the media, don't talk to anybody. You will tell you when we're ready to tell you.
Right.
Right? That kind of thick blue line, I think, between, communications and media transparency, which has been changing maybe a little slowly over the years, but has definitely changed substantially even over the last decade.
Yeah, it has. And when I did this the first time in a city called Hopkinsville, Kentucky, it was the Nashville market covered us. We were a very busy police department. And I knew that when something happened, I had a couple hours to put a news release together. And I knew when the media's deadlines were. I would get them the information and plenty of time for them to put the story together and have it ready for their on-the-hour news or, in the case of TV, 4, 5, 6, 10, so on. But on one day, and that was January 15th of 2009, changed everything about how news is gathered and disseminated. And there was a man named Janice Crumbs that was on a ferry in the Hudson River, riding across the river, when all of a sudden a plane dropped out of the sky and landed in the river. And he grabbed his phone and he started taking pictures and putting them on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He beat all the major networks to that story. That picture took off. Mm-hmm. And nothing has been the same since then. It's all on social media. All your major media outlets now use social media as much as anything, probably more now. And it's just going over to that area of news dissemination. So we have to keep up with that. We have to, in order to stay ahead of the narrative, we have to get the information out to the media as quickly as we can. It might not be very detailed at first, but we're going to let you know what we have and where it's at, and then we're going to update you as quickly as we can to keep disinformation and misinformation off of social media.
I was just going to say, that's the battle, right? Is, you know, people have always talked, there's always been rumor and gossip, and, you know, on the one hand, you didn't necessarily encounter it as much, but... You know, social media gives everybody a newspaper, everybody a radio station, everybody a TV station,
right,
and multiple of them, you know, depending on your different platforms. And the result of that is sometimes very, very useful. And the result of that is sometimes extraordinarily counterproductive.
Yes.
Because, yes, let's just put it this way, not everybody should be trusted with their own newspaper or TV station or radio station. Not everybody is up to that task.
Right.
We'll come back to this conversation in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up on Woodbine Road as you approach US 90, clear on the bridge. And if you are sticking to Scenic Highway southbound this morning, traffic is backed up from Olive Road for about 2 miles or so due to a vehicle crash that happened on Addison Drive earlier today. So expect some delays if you're traveling southbound on Scenic Highway. Coming into town from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you guys are clear on westbound 98 over the bridge into town this morning. And Cantonment, if you were heading southbound on U.S. Highway 29, looking like some slowdowns, but nothing too major this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So, yeah, back to this conversation about social media and, you know, just putting a newspaper power or a TV station, radio station's power in everybody's hands all the time, you find out that not everybody's really up to that task, and specifically when it comes to law enforcement stories, right? I mean, you guys have to – the information is as important as the actual facts, because the information shapes how the public reacts to what your officers are doing all the time, right?
Absolutely. We want to get the information out there quickly but accurately, and sometimes that's tough to do. And that's why our initial information we put out is not very detailed, because we simply don't have the numbers. We don't want to speculate. Mm-hmm. In this business, you do not speculate. We need to give out facts. That's what the public wants, and that's what they deserve, especially in the situation of involving kids. If something happens at a school or at a movie theater or at the mall, we need to get the information out quickly, but we've got to be accurate, because we don't want to cause any undue panic.
And also, in some cases, like, you know, recently with the school, turn out to be completely different,
right,
from what you initially thought. And if you put out, hey, we think it's this, people freak out, and it turns out, well, it wasn't that at all. And, you know,
right,
we had a local example of that.
Yep.
That can be a problem. And sort of, you know, like, in that regard, we talked about criminals doing things that, you know, are sort of irrational or whatever. I think the fact that so many criminals video themselves and do live video and like to share and brag and provide, yeah, evidence, let's just say, in leads.
Yeah, social media has been an investigator's friend as well.
Yeah.
Stolen merchandise, video of the crime being committed.
Right.
They post things like that, and we certainly don't mind that at all. It helps us solve cases quickly.
One thing that I have been wanting to ask you for a while, and I've never had a chance to do it, and I'm just kind of curious about this. When you make an arrest, you're a law enforcement officer, you make an arrest, do you as a cop follow that case? Do you follow the trial? Do you pay? Because it takes years a lot of times for these cases to be disposed. Do you keep track of that? Do you keep track of it more if it's your own case as opposed to just like a general high-profile case? Or do you kind of do your job, make your arrest, show up for the trial when you need to, and deal with other stuff? Because, you know, who's got time for all that?
Well, it depends on the arrest. A misdemeanor shoplifting arrest, probably not. But a major arrest, something that got a lot of attention, something that may be very personal to the officer or the investigator, those are cases that they keep up with. Mm-hmm. They also want to know what happens to their cases in court to make sure they're presenting good, solid cases. They would like to see a high conviction rate.
Sure.
So they'll keep up for reasons like that on the big cases.
Okay. Mallory, I didn't necessarily say that you were going to be on the air, but I am curious, and you can feel free to decline, but you've been doing this for how long? You've been in training?
just a couple of weeks now.
Okay. Tell me something that surprised you that you've learned in the last couple of weeks. Anything stand out that's interesting or different?
Probably not anything really different. I think I was surprised by how much, like, connection that, you know, Mr. Woods has here. You know, he talked about, and also at school that I'm learning, is that connection is key, and making sure that you keep, you know, your friends and also, like, coworkers close, because, you know, that is the kind of thing that will keep, like, take you so long. You know, he brought donuts today, but also he's here to, you know, let's listen to you and really answer to the public.
Cop brought us donuts. I know, I do things backwards.
But, no, he's great. I mean, I really think the connection was what really, like, surprised me, because I'm like, you know, I've always seen that, like, you know, the news is always trying to make people look bad. And, you know, here in Pensacola, I see the complete opposite. And it's definitely, like, eye-opening to me.
Yeah, it's a the relationship between the news media in Pensacola and law enforcement is atypical. But in part, it's atypical because, you know, some of us have certain ideas about how this ought to go. And also because people like you, you know, go, and other PIOs go out of their way to really make that a more amicable relationship than it than exists in other places. And by the way, I know, Mike, you're a typical cop. You love to receive praise to your face. But, you know, I believe that you are, like, at the top of the PIO capability. And one of the things is because of how he maintains relationships, provides information, reaches out proactively, you know, always responsive. I will say that not everybody is, and you absolutely are. I mean, many are, but you are. There's nobody who's better. There are some who are nearly as good as or as good as, but nobody does it better. So I really appreciate that. Oh, I had a cop myth fly in and out of my head that it suddenly occurred to me that I was going to ask you about, and then... Oh, no, you mentioned it. It was the conviction rate. On TV, you always see cops portrayed as being graded on their conviction rate and caring about their clearance rate and, you know, fighting and squabbling over, this is an easy case to clear, I want it. This is a hard case, I'll never clear it, I don't want it. Is there any part of that that's accurate, or what parts of that might be true?
No, the cases are assigned to investigators, and it's their job to clear those cases.
You got to see his smirk. It's just like, oh, my God, these idiots.
Yeah, no, that's... That's not how it works at all. The cases are assigned to the investigators, and they try to clear those cases, all those cases. And when they present them to a grand jury or they go to court, they are very interested in how they turn out, and they want good, solid cases. Nobody wants an investigator that's presenting cases that are constantly getting thrown out, or a patrol officer either. Every time he or she goes to court, so the incidents are getting thrown out. Nobody wants that either. So we want to present good, solid cases.
Are you – I mean, is there, like, you've got to clear 60% or you don't make the next rank? Is there anything along those lines?
No, I mean, if you might not last as an investigator very long if your cases are not being cleared and
gotcha.
Your conviction rate's low, but I've never heard of that at the Pensacola Police Department.
And you mentioned something a moment ago that I just want to amplify because I thought it was so good, is you follow your cases so that you can learn which ones are succeeding so that you can learn how to make better cases. Because if you don't know why cases make or fail, then you won't be able to properly gather evidence and decide which cases to proceed with or not. In order to not waste the court's time, for example, right? All of those things are factors.
Exactly, that's right.
Very good. Mallory Rivera in training for public information officer training, and Mike Wood, of course, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Thank you so much for coming in today. Great to talk to you. I appreciate the work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
7:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up.
Good morning, 7:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
The World Central Kitchen now pausing its operations in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. They say that pause is due to the ongoing attacks and fighting in the city. Israel recently resumed its strikes on Rafah after an airstrike that killed some civilians over the weekend. A motion from Scott Peterson's defense team for new or additional DNA testing in his case has been mostly denied. A judge in California denying that request for all but one item, which was duct tape recovered from the clothing from his late wife, Lacey Peterson, during her autopsy. And first-time jobless claims up a little bit this week. According to some new numbers out from the Labor Department today, there were 219,000 requests for unemployment. That is up 3,000 from last week and also 1,000 more than analysts had been expecting.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. I did start to play this clip a little bit before, but this story is crazy concerning. This is the one about the school bus that I mistakenly started to play to Mike Wood a moment ago.
A community outraged after a senior class trip in Central Florida was cut short due to this.
Pull over. Oh, my God.
Bus driver Keith Shiflett arrested, accused of driving dozens of teens while under the influence of alcohol on Saturday.
There's something wrong with our bus driver, and he's not being responsive, and he's not stopping the bus, and he's ran through a couple red.
Shiflett was driving students and chaperones on a coach bus from Sebring to Daytona Beach, Florida, when passengers noticed him driving recklessly, according to arrest documents.
And he keeps asking him to stop, to pull over, and he's refusing.
They were following behind the bus, I'm sure for capacity reasons or whatever, and they realized that he was running red lights and driving erratically and drunk, and the kids were on the bus, I guess, communicating with them. They tried calling 911. The parents actually drove in front of the bus and made the bus slow down, which, of course, at that point, if he's resisting all the calls for him to pull over and do all this stuff, you know, he could have done anything at that point. He could have driven right through their car, but it eventually got him pulled over and got him arrested. And holy crap, man. Like, wow. That's right here in Florida. So that's a just kind of one of those, I'm glad it wasn't worse, because it could have worked out a whole lot worse than that, obviously. 437-1620. One of the, just an interesting note, we were talking all throughout the show today about the war in Ukraine and the relevance for that. That's one of the aspects. We're learning drone technology from that, and one of the things in the Army is they're really encouraging people to learn drones. Obviously, that's going to be a major element of future warfare fighting, but also they're kind of preferring people to come that have experience in operating drones. That's something that even, you know, a kid might want to have.
This is WNRP Gulf Breeze Milton Pensacola, the recipient of the 2024 National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for year-round community service.